Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Melissa K. and Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
And we're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning over there. Well, let me see. Oh, good morning over there.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Pretty good. How are things going there?
Doing good here. What does our forecast look like for the week?
It looks like a pretty quiet week ahead here for us. So we're also looking on the warmer than average side as well each day as we head right to the end of this week. We do stay with some clouds out there this morning, but otherwise seeing some sunny breaks developing as well as we get further into the day with our highs at about 31. 27 tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, maybe some fog late, and then some clouds and some fog into Tuesday morning. Highs at 32 tomorrow, 26 Tuesday night, mid-30s Wednesday and Thursday. Still rather cloudy both days. Overnight lows still in the 20s through the end of the week, so enjoying those warmer nights as well. Looks like the weekend temps still hanging right around 30 on Saturday with a partly sunny start to the weekend upcoming here. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Appreciate the updates as always, Paul. Looking forward to the week ahead. You have yourself a great day.
Thanks, and you guys too.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. We have got a couple things going on this hour. Of course, we'll get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. And some other stuff. Right now, we're going to talk generations, and we're gonna have some fun with this too. Because first, it's a two-parter, everybody. I got first 10 boomer opinions that other generations actually agree with.
Okay.
And then I have the top five some of Gen Z opinions that actually make sense.
Okay.
So we'll get into some of these and have some fun with our differences.
So for those of us that are in neither of those generations, do we get to comment on both of
exactly.
them?
Exactly. Yes, okay, exactly.
Good. I think that's fair.
The holidays are over, and while there were surely some generational disagreements while everyone was gathered together, there are some hot takes that did find common ground.
Okay.
There's a thread online where people are talking about the cranky boomer opinions they actually agree with. And it isn't just a millennial versus boomer thing. It was people of all ages who were validating boomer takes, like every generation, like chiming in and that.
Okay.
So these are ones that it seems like everybody can kind of agree on. People share way too much on social media.
Yes.
I remember I got a Facebook account ages ago, and I'm on there, and I didn't have that many friends at the time, and I just started adding some people, and this one person put on there, tied my shoes, woohoo, and I realized right there, like, I was at a crossroads, and do I want to continue into this world? Is it really worth it? Do I really need to know that so-and-so over in, like, you know, Montana tied his shoes? Do I really?
Well, yeah, in the we early days of Facebook, there wasn't much else to do. There weren't memes. There weren't things like that. So you just kind of said, okay, here's what's going on in my day. But you need to choose what about your day you're sharing.
People believe that there's way too much. They're done with touchscreens. I want physical buttons, especially in the car.
Well, touchscreens, I'm always worried that they're going to fail.
Don't trust them.
Yeah, you can't. I don't know.
In our car, one of our cars, we have the Phantom Touch now. That it will automatically start going to places we don't want it to go.
Yeah, see?
We had a touchscreen at the other studio, and I never used it. I tried it the first day we got it. I would hit it, and it didn't go. I would hit it, and then it wouldn't go. And then maybe on the third time, it would go. And that doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but that would usually be 10 to 15 seconds that would burn by. That's a lot of time in radio.
Right. Well,
I don't have the time that we literally don't have the time to waste waiting for these things to work. I'll push the button. It takes me a half a second to click a mouse.
Well, and in the winter, if you're trying to do a touch screen with gloves on, depending on what kind of glove or mittens you have on, you can't.
This next one. I hate going to concerts and seeing everyone with their phones up.
We miss the lighters.
Yeah. I would have more of an issue. I would care more about what artists actually think of this. I'd like to know their take, more that, you know, the average take of an artist or what have you or anything. But yeah, I don't know. This one isn't bothering me that much, but I also haven't been to a whole lot of concerts in the last 10 years. Right. So.
Well, the other thing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, now that you say that, James, I wonder what that's like standing up on stage if all of those flashlights on people's phones, if they can actually, you know, like if it's another glare coming at them aside of all the massive amounts of lights mm-hmm. already pointed at them, I think that would be more annoying than lighters.
Right.
But it is safer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but the other thing you have to worry about then is, are people recording it when they shouldn't be recording it? And I know that I've heard of some artists that require you to put either leave your cell phone or device in your vehicle, or they give you a special bag that you have to put it in that will block any signal.
Mm-hmm. Huh. This next one is an interesting one. I will never own an e-reader. Nothing compares to a real paper book. That's nice in theory, I think.
Yeah.
There are a ton of artists that only can release their book or only have released their work on e-reader mm-hmm. or e-books or e-versions of that. I would never stop reading those artists. One of them happens to be my favorite young artist. So I may be a little bit biased about this topic, and I wholeheartedly admit that. But for one, if you've read any B.A. McRae, which I encourage you to search into your Barnes & Noble and Amazon and all those and buy their books, her books. It wasn't just reading Bria's work on there. Mm-hmm. I've read plenty of other artists on there. I know a lot of artists like her that's how they've gotten their break.
Right.
And to me, e-readers. Now, I don't disagree with this, though. I don't disagree with the latter part of it. There's nothing like a real book. You go to the library and you rent a great book, and you're getting so darn excited mm-hmm. to read this thing, and you almost want to start reading it in the parking lot before you even get home. And you open up the book, and it's got a smell to it. Yeah. It smells different. There's just something about paper. There's just something about that. I feel very similar to a newspaper. Mm-hmm. I do my routine as I've been doing for years and years. I go online and look at this newspaper, this national newspaper, all that. That's how my mornings start. I would love to do that with real papers. I'd really love to be able to do that. That's just not the world that we live in. I don't have that kind of money. So.
Well, the irony for me is that my dad, who is a boomer, started reading because of e-readers. He would get frustrated because he was never diagnosed, but he thinks he has a form of dyslexia. And for him, he felt like he was reading more by changing the font size and the color. So he reads an insane amount of books now compared to what he did when he was in ministry and not retired. I, ironically, prefer the paper because there's something. Most of my reading is not for enjoyment. It's for research. It's for prepping and all of that. And so if I'm highlighting something, it's easier for me to go back, or I can remember, oh, it was on the left side of the page down towards the bottom, or the right side of the page up towards the top, mm-hmm. where you can't do that with an e-reader. Mm-hmm. And so it's harder to go back to reference things that you might have read and want to go back to if it's on an e-reader than if it's in a physical book. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a personal choice on how your brain works and what works best for you.
Then I think it's also a convenience thing. I prefer mm-hmm. regular books, but having the ability to have a book on my phone is super handy. Like if I got to stand and wait in line somewhere, mm-hmm. I can just pop my book up on my phone and then pass the time that way. I'm waiting in a doctor's office. I don't have to carry another thing with me. I have Libby on my phone. I can just pull up an audiobook or a regular book from the library, read it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
The overwhelming majority of people I know do everything you guys were just talking about. They do both.
Right.
They read real books when they can. They're at home or whatever. But if they're out and about, or they're, you know, taking a long train ride or something like that, boy, that e-reader comes in handy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. Now, having an actual dedicated other device to it, like an e-reader or a Kindle, I have one of those I borrowed from my brother. I haven't looked at it in, gosh, I don't even know how many years, probably 10.
Next one on here, I want to read articles online without entering an email, creating an account, and giving out my phone number.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, but the problem with that is just like James, you mentioned, you're reading all these newspapers online and instead of paper, journalists have to get paid.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
Sorry, Melissa. Go ahead.
That's okay. It's got to come from somewhere.
I got to start getting deducted points when I cut her off, though. I got to start. I mean, you should be like, every time I do it, I get like 5 seconds of silence where my mic has to be turned off for 5 seconds. Thank you, Melissa, though, because I don't think we talk about this nearly enough. We are just okay with the paper industry just up and dying and moving on. It's not the paper industry that's dying. It's journalism.
Right.
It is journalism, everybody. And it is damn time that we start doing something about it. Quit counting on your news from just a TV or cable or streaming service. Like, the true journalism that happens more times than not, as it's always been in politics, in government, anything we want to talk about, it's being done on the ground. It's being done by actual real people that work at newspapers and are going out there and are trying to be that bridge between us and them and getting us true facts and information. Their job is under siege. Truth is under siege.
Right.
Did anybody happen to, I don't know, see what happened this weekend with our great judicial, our great government in our system? The children that were running the things in the House of Commons, or the House and everything? The Senate looks like bad pro wrestling compared to, like, especially when you look at, like, in England and the House of Commons and all mm-hmm. that, where it's just insane the way they treat each other and everything.
Right.
They look more like adults than we do.
Right.
We got these little bickering sessions going on. And you do this or you do that or I'm not voting for you. And all this stuff. Meanwhile, the American people have just sit here and nothing gets done.
Right.
Would it be better if, instead of having an age limit to be able to run for office or anything like that, where you're 35 and up, where you have to be younger than 35 to run for office,
or
where you have
yeah.
to be younger than 35 to run for Congress, Senate, all that, because if we're going to have, like, adults acting like children, why don't we just have teenagers in there?
Well, and in my denomination, there is a mandatory retirement age for pastors. Mm. You have to retire by age 70. And, you know, you could be appointed at some point, but it starts to allow that transition that naturally needs to happen from one generation to another to happen. When you have a whole bunch of 80-year-olds continually being elected into office, that transition is not happening. And then there's the complaint that, well, the younger generation doesn't know anything or doesn't do anything. Well, you haven't let them.
With 90% of these guys, it's just a bunch of old white guys complaining about who's going to be prom king and slap fighting each other. Like, it's a bad Monty Python sketch. It's just... the next one on here. I don't want to get away from that point, though, Melissa had about journalism. That's incredibly important, mm-hmm. and that's how journalism survives, by reading newspapers, by supporting newspapers, buying that, you know, newspaper, those kind
right.
of things. I think that was a great point,
mm-hmm.
Mel. This next one on here. I just want to speak to a real person on the phone.
Yes.
When I have to call a business, for the love of God, please. Please, I said real person. I said it 80 times. Please, real person. Real person. Manager. Contact. Whatever. What do I got to
yes.
say to get you to give me? And I have no...
Customer service representative.
Please,
yes.
Please, customer service representative. Public. Please dial 1 for...
Yeah,
I don't think anybody in the world doesn't agree with. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard somebody, oh, right, a new automated system, I can't wait. Like,
right.
Nobody gets excited about that.
But they also don't want to pay real people mm-hmm. to do
exactly.
those jobs. And it's a hard job. Being a phone call center customer service representative, that's a hard job.
Let me tell you, I hate how bad our roads are. Our roads are horrible. Why did my taxes go up? What's going on here? I refuse to pay more taxes. You gotta, what kind of world do you live in? This idea of getting something for nothing, like, that doesn't exist, and mm-hmm. it never has. Like, it's a good point, Mel. Paper menus are far superior to QR codes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to look at a restaurant's menu on my phone.
No. Well, and what if you only have a flip phone?
Yeah.
You don't have the device mm-hmm. itself to be able to have a QR code reader.
They do. I went to a restaurant like this, and they tried to guilt us into, well, we use the QR codes because we don't want to destroy paper. We don't want to ruin more paper or anything. how many menus you going through? What are you doing over there with these menus? What are you going, like, you label, you got a menu, you what do you call it?
Laminate
it.
Yep.
Boom, you're done.
Yep. And then you can wipe it down as many times as you want.
Yeah. Like, what, how many trees do you think you saved by not creating six menus?
And the paper industry is still an industry. There are still people that need to be paid to make that paper. We had a mill here that went down because people weren't buying paper.
Mm. And I do think that kind of came up a little bit during the pandemic because they wanted to be able to, you know, keep everything sanitary. But like you said, you can disinfect a laminated menu.
Mm-hmm. I don't need a smart refrigerator or toaster. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
We've really gone way too far with this stuff.
First world problems.
Some of those things that you can connect into your home with via your smartphone are really handy.
Right.
I have to admit that I like the fact that my boyfriend can adjust the temperature in the house with his phone from anywhere. Because that's come in handy, like when we're on our way home from a weekend, he can turn the heat up before we get home.
Very nice.
That
which is
cool.
Handy.
Yeah.
I don't know how that, you know, would work with the fridge or a toaster.
The toaster's the one I'm confused about. The fridge, the idea of having it keep stock for
how
you to know what you're running out of.
Yeah.
Now, I can think of a toaster function that would be really handy. Mm. Okay. So it's a video that you can view on your phone
to see
watch
how far it's
the
going.
Color of your toast
yes.
as it's toasting.
I've wondered this since I was a child. Why are there not more clear toasters?
Yeah.
Why are
yeah.
there no clear toasters? I want to see. I like my bagel a certain way. I want it a little harder. I want it a little stronger. There's never been a setting in my life that gets it just right. I got to time it. I got to watch it. I want to be able to see inside the toaster.
Right.
And different things toast at different lengths of time.
Yes.
Like my sourdough bread, I have to push the toaster down twice before it's actually toasted, as opposed to just warmed up. Whereas, you know, store-bought bread, one time down, you've got just about your perfect golden brown color, but not the same with everything.
See, and we have a toaster that has special buttons so that if you're toasting a bagel, you can press the button and it'll toast it differently so that you don't have to adjust the knobs all the time. But still, trying to figure out what that sweet spot is always a challenge.
Move on from the whole Bluetooth toaster thing and make clear toasters.
Here you go.
We want our toasters transparent.
Yes. Using apps for everything is annoying, like going to Disney World and not being able to do anything, including eat, unless you use the app, or paying good money for a product that doesn't do the thing it says on the box until you install their app.
That is annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how many apps they think we can have on our phones.
Right.
I don't know what they're... Yeah.
Yeah, because I got tickets, and I had to download the app to be able to access the tickets. Mm. I don't like that.
No. I can't stand that stuff. And they know we delete half of these apps when as soon as we can. So, and finally on the list, and this is a classic, but boy, it could be pretty, awfully true. I really don't want people I don't know on my lawn. Get off my lawn!
No trespassing.
It's pretty funny. That is a pretty good one. It's a nice way to wrap up. We'll come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club a little bit later. We'll get into those Gen Z opinions. We'll get to those a little bit later in the hour. Coming up, mornings, our Misty's Menu coming up here on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Happy birthday, baby.
It is time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. It is time for us to do some celebrating. It's time for you to get on over to Misty's and treat yourself. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 Stidaway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. I have a wonderful list here today. Let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. I need a 1 through 4 from you, Beth.
Let's go with 2 this time.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. So we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, a gentleman who can't win because I believe he lives in Madison now, but one of my oldest friends, Jeremy Osborne, celebrating a birthday today.
Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Ozzy, I've mentioned on these airwaves many times. Jeremy has multiple sclerosis. And one of the guys that helped me learn more and more how to handle yourself around people in those situations. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up around a lot of that. Jeremy was one of my first friends, if not my first friend like that. And huge, huge gift he would give me, his sister would give me for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And one of my best friends, one of the best friends I ever had. Jerry's, Ozzy's great. Anybody who's ever met Jeremy, talk days about him. Also want to wish a very happy birthday to Jen Schick.
Happy birthday, Jen.
Hope you have a great day, Jen. Enjoy it. We want to wish a very happy birthday to one of our helpers around here, our cub reporters at times, Mr. Tom Heiser.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Happy birthday.
We appreciate you, Tom. Tom sends us stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. VFW news and different things like that. We greatly appreciate it. Tom, a longtime friend and listener of this station. Yeah. Wish you a great day, sir. And our qualifier today, celebrating their 52nd anniversary, Mike and Deb Elft.
Happy Aww. Anniversary.
Happy
Yay.
Anniversary, Mike and Deb.
They are celebrating their 52nd anniversary. Wow. That is pretty cool.
Nice.
That is really cool.
I want to know the secret.
Any day now. Yep. Any day you can let us know about those secrets, everybody. Yep. All you people celebrating your
love anniversary. We did have one couple that did that, and I really appreciated them doing that. It's always good to hear those little things that help make that marriage last.
Yeah. Let's go on and take a look at our celebrity list here. And first up on the list, interesting. 41 years old today, Kate Middleton.
Oh,
okay.
Prince William's wife and the mother of his children. They're calling her the Duchess of Cambridge here, but they gave up the titles, right?
That's the other one. That's
Meghan. Oh, it's the other one. Oh, yeah, I got it all mixed up. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be rude.
This is the heir apparent's wife.
That's right. I generally did not. I didn't remember. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be mean or funny or anything. I generally didn't remember. I don't pay that much attention to this stuff, to be honest.
I probably pay more attention than I should.
And that's cool. To each your own. I don't begrudge that. 45 years old today for AJ McLean, the Backstreet Boy alum. Let's see here. Chad Ochocinco is 45. Many people may remember him as Chad Johnson. He legally changed his name to Ochocinco during his NFL career.
Okay, which means 85.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his number?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, gotcha.
Let's see here. Sean Paul is 50. A ton of hits he's got. Rockabye, She Don't Mind, Got to Love You, Cheap Thrills. Okay. Plenty of them. Speaking of tons of hits, Dave Matthews is 56.
Wow.
56.
Yeah. I actually would have, that seemed, for one of the few times, that actually seems about right to me. I don't know why, but that seems to fit. 1994's Under the Table and Dreaming, Ants Marching, What Would You Say, Satellite, Crash Into Me, So Much to Say, Too Much, Tripping Billies. There are so many songs from Dave Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I always thought that they would be bigger, necessarily like with pop culture, but like I thought that they were going to be another like Grateful Dead or Fish kind of band, where like a jam band, and they have this following that follows them all around the country. Maybe they have a lot more of that than I realize. I only know like one or two people that kind of do that, but they seem to have a bit of it. I always thought they'd have more though.
Right.
Let's see here. Oh, awesome. Mugsy Bogues is 58 today. 5'3" NBA baller.
Mugsy, wow.
Mugsy Bogues had some handles on him. He could dribble that ball. Like, good ball handler. I bet you still can at 58. I think you can make the argument when you are talking about character actors, especially, that this gentleman has to be considered in the top five greatest character actors of all time. J.K. Simmons is 68 today.
Oh, yes.
Howard Silk on Counterpart, Jonah Jameson in the first Spider-Man trilogy.
Yep.
The Closer, Oz in Vern Schilling in the TV series. Oz, one of the darkest, evilest characters I've ever seen in TV in my life. Also, was nominated, won an Oscar.
Yeah, he did.
The drum movie. Can't think of the name of it now.
Yeah.
Single title. One of those act. I was so, one of my favorite Oscar moments was him winning. Because character actors don't win very often, let alone get nominated.
Well, and then the fact that he is the spokesperson for Farmers Insurance.
Yes.
And he's still doing it.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't think to say, oh, well, now I've got an Oscar. He's still doing it because he knows I get a paycheck from this.
he said he was going to fulfill his contract doing that. Uh-huh. And then they asked him, like, well, you know, we'd love to still have you. And he's like, sure. Yeah, okay. keep doing it. I think that's a great point, though. I think of Jim Carrey, and mm-hmm. his break happens, and he's one of the biggest stars in the world, and he finished out his contract with In Living Color.
Yeah.
That's what gave him his break. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I'm sticking through this and mm-hmm. everything. I like that. I respect that a lot.
Yeah.
Crystal Gayle is 72 today.
Aww, the longest hair in country.
Oh, I believe that. I never thought of that, but I would believe it, yeah. She is Loretta Lynn's little sister.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if that's common knowledge or not. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
I did not know that.
One of the greatest guitarists to ever play, Jimmy Page, is 79 today. I mean, you cannot talk about rock and roll without talking about Jimmy Page.
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk about Led Zeppelin. You can't. There's essentially nowhere since Jimmy Page picked up a guitar and started playing with the Yardbirds that you can't. You have to include him. Bit of a complicated guy, like every other musician mm-hmm. in human history. But there is so much amazing work that man has done. Literal genius when it comes to music. Not just playing guitar, music.
Wow.
Incredible artist. Incredible artist. Joan Baez is 82.
Oh, wow.
Great folk singer. And then there are some people no longer with us, like former 37th President of these United States, Richard Nixon, born on this day in 1913, passed away in 1994. I think Nixon is one of the better examples of looking into things and thinking, like, especially for us when we didn't live through the Nixon generation. Mm-hmm. We didn't live the Nixon presidency or anything like that. Mm-hmm. There is plenty, if you just look at headlines or you just look at negative or just... you know, stories, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's plenty about Richard Nixon to where, well, that guy didn't accomplish anything good in his presidency. Whether you like to admit this or not, whether you want to or not, we have to get better about this. Every president who's ever been in office did some bad and did some good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They helped you out, and then they helped out your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there has been no perfect president in human history. There has been no absolutely, completely evil, horrible, like that person didn't do anything good president. I firmly believe this.
Right.
Nixon is such a great example of this. There are things in Nixon's presidency that anybody, poor, rich, whoever you are, like, oh, I'm glad we got that.
Right.
Like, almost every single president outside of certainly ones that were, you know, not in office for very long or anything like that. Everybody's accomplished something, mm-hmm. and everybody's done some bad stuff, too. So, because it turns out they're all human.
Wow.
Bob Denver, born in this day in 1935, aww. Passed away in 2005. Gilligan's Island superstar. Bob Denver.
Yes. Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah. All of a sudden, John Denver came into my mind. But yes, yeah. Bob Denver. And wasn't he Toby
Gilligan?
Toby Gillis?
Toby Gillis.
That's what he did before he did Gilligan's Island.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I forgot all about that. Yeah. Jimmy Boyd, born in this day in 1939, passed away in 2009. I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. And Dick Enberg, born in this day in 1935, passed away in 2017. Sportscaster, one of those guys, just those voices and people that we grew up with, a lot of us kids of the 80s and everything. Incredible what he did, Dick Enberg. And one more time, want to take a look at our birthdays for local ones. Jeremy Osborne, happy birthday, Jer.
Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Jen Chick.
Happy birthday, Jen.
Happy mm-hmm. birthday to our friend Tom Heiser.
Happy birthday, Tom.
And a very happy 52nd anniversary to Mike and Deb Elft, our qualifiers today.
Happy anniversary. Yeah. Get on over to Misty's Menu and get your free piece of pie.
Treat yourself. Get on to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. After you're done listening to Melissa's News, get on over there and celebrate. We'll be back with more here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Getting funky around here on a Monday. Hope your day is treating you good. Warn up. Such a funky, such a good song. I know that Seth was well-intended with these uh-huh. 80s bumpers and everything. Uh-huh. All weekend, all I wanted to do was listen to the 80s music. He's infected my brain.
Well, the same thing happened with Seth Places the Music last night, too, where he ended. Yep.
it gets in your brain. It's an earworm. It gets in there. Won't leave.
Oh, I love it. It was such a great era for music.
So it was something all right. I love it, but I'm not. I don't know if I'm confident enough to say great. I do love it, though. I admit that.
Well, as a child of the 80s,
yeah,
it's where my heart is. You know, and then I saw one of those things that said, here are songs that are turning 40 this year, and you had things like Lucky Star by Madonna. And I'm like, oh, I did not realize I was that old.
There's certain information even I don't want to know. There's some stuff, you know, I didn't need to know that. Like, yeah. Anything that reminds me of getting older, I don't necessarily need. Here's an interesting one as far as information goes. How much of it are we being honest about when it comes to our resumes? They say everyone lies on their resume at least a little, but is that really true? Far from it, according to this. Someone polled 1,000 Americans, and only 12% said they have knowingly lied on a resume before.
Hmm.
That's only around 1 in 8 people. 12% said that they have, and 3% said that they prefer not to answer. So if you if you count those people, it's 15%. 71% said that they have definitely never lied on a resume. Mm-hmm. People who have lied were also asked what they have lied about while applying for a job. Number one is making it look like you're more interested in the job than you really are. It was also voted as the most acceptable thing to lie about. The five most common things we lie about are how interested you are in the job, your experience, your past jobs, your previous job titles, and your interests or hobbies, which you might list at the bottom of a resume. Lying about your education and criminal history both barely miss the top five. Barely.
Wow.
Hmm. You said a phrase earlier, Beth, fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never understood and never really liked that phrase. I do think it applies plenty of times in life. One mm-hmm. of them earlier when you mentioned
right.
it. I do think that it's a phrase for a reason. It's mm-hmm. a common phrase for a reason because it is apt at times.
Yeah, it often has to do with your attitude.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I don't believe in it when it comes to your job.
Right. Well, there's a difference between faking it and lying.
And lying.
Imagine somebody lying on their resume for Beth's job. Seems like it would end badly. Feels like that would end very bad.
You know, the irony, at least in my denomination, is I don't have to do my own resume. My denomination does it when they present me to other congregations, which I never know that they're doing.
I never thought about that. But well, it's nice that you at least have some advantages to that job. Like, you don't get a whole ton of them and everything. Like, at least you've got to fill out a resume.
Yeah,
at least
I think the last time I did a resume was when I worked at Disney, I think. Or, ironically, more so in the theater. I've had to do theater resumes to audition.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the last time I really had to do a resume, more so than for work.
I don't know. I feel like you're not really helping yourself to get a paycheck just one time.
No.
You know, because you most people are not going to survive at a job very long if that's like, yeah, I know how to be a mechanic. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. They're going to find out pretty quickly
right.
You don't know what you're doing.
Well, and what struck me was that they're lying about how interested they are in the job. Well, if you're not interested in the job, why are you applying for it in the first place?
Well, that brings up an interesting conversation, I think, though, too.
Okay.
In the how many people are kind of, whether it is a matter of location, and I have to work at this place because it's the only job I can get to, the education levels, there's there is a hiring practices that can oftentimes make it very difficult for anybody. I remember when I moved to this town, and you saw people that had money and people that didn't. And you knew immediately those people with money worked at the mill. And then, of course, my dad and other people like him that moved to this town, well, I want that job. I want to work at the mill. And they laughed at him. They literally laughed at him when he talked to people about getting a job at the mill. You got to know somebody. You got to have a connection. There's nobody getting hired at the mill that doesn't have a connection, that doesn't have a relative. This is what we were told. I'm not saying that's how the case.
Right.
I'm saying that's what we were told. As I grow and grew in this area, that's all I saw. Every friend of mine that got a job at the mill, their dad worked there, or their mom worked there, or their uncle worked there or something. Literally every single person. Again, I'm not saying that that's all the case and that is 100% of the case, but it's a pretty big number of the case mm-hmm. of people that got that job and everything. There's so many factors of why somebody would lie on a resume that has, I think, some genuine intentions to it, some true, like, hey, I just want an opportunity. Just give me a break and I can do this. Just give me a chance to get my foot in the door.
Right.
And if I got to, you know, fudge a little bit on my resume to be able to get my foot in the door, I'm going to do it. I get that. Well, it's a struggle. But what do you do once you're inside the room? What do you, how are you going to keep that job and everything?
If you have to show enthusiasm for the job on your resume or your interest letter, at least, whether or not you're super psyched about the job. But that's the nature of a job. It's called a job for a reason. It's not a vacation.
Yes.
So it's work.
What I'm wondering is people are saying that they're lying about how interested they are. So if they're really not interested and saying, but I'm really interested, then why are you motivated to apply if you're really not interested in the job and you have to lie to say that you are?
Maybe you need work. You know, there is a lot of time.
Work that's available.
Yeah. There's quite a few times in my life growing up that I worked so many jobs I did not want to work, but I was very, very energetic in that interview.
Right.
I would love to work here. I would love to follow that horse around and pick up after him every time he does his business. Yes, sir. This is, I love horses. I love animals. Right. I've always wanted to work with them. You know, but you do what you have to get that foot in the door and to get that paycheck, whatever it takes. I'm not condoning lying on your resume. I'm merely showing that, to those that may not understand why somebody would do that, some of the intentions. Then there's also the people that just do it just to do it because they just want a job. I mean, there's plenty of factors here.
And the resume is what's needed to get your foot in the door to get the interview, because the interview is really kind of where you can present who you are more honestly.
I really haven't had to apply for a job in ages, like probably 10, 15 years, something like that, somewhere around there or anything. I don't know. It seems like all they do now is phone interviews. It seems like they don't do a ton of in-person interviews anymore.
That's a way to narrow the interview field. A lot of them start with phone interviews. They might have, 50 people apply for the job. They're going to probably call a small percentage of that, maybe 10 people, and then actually have in-person interviews for 3 of them.
Yeah. We were talking about differences of generations. The overwhelmingly majority of kids that I've got as students prefer doing the phone interviews. They like that. They would rather do that. One girl even said that she didn't show up to a job interview because it was in person, and she was nervous. And I told her, that's life. That is literally when you wake up in the morning, that's your day.
I have to do some of this in person.
Yeah. I was dumbfounded. And then I asked her what the job was for. And is that a Dunkin' Donuts? And I'm like, wait a minute. You're
not
nervous.
A remote job.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that over the phone,
No, you can't. You kind of have to have people skills to be able to deal with people.
I think that's something, I don't know necessarily, not say this is what you were meaning, Melissa, or anything, but there is some people, too, that want a job and a paycheck, but they don't want to work for it. There's a lot of that. And I do think younger generation, every younger generation gets picked on for that. Every generation's got it. Every generation's got it. Hey, boomers, I know you don't like this. Your generation had it too. Every generation has got this. What do you call the beatnik generation? come on. There's plenty of that in every generation. And there's plenty of hard workers in every generation. Otherwise, nothing would ever get done.
Well, and that's the irony. You know, we've got people that say, you have to earn what you get, but we want to be able to get things for free. So how do you balance those things?
Less government. Government's stupid. I don't like government. Give me my Social Security right now. This thing that goes on here and everything. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I would put out there, though, that if you, chose to lie on your resume and then your lies are found out, there's a very good chance that you're going to not have that job any longer. Or one would hope, unless maybe you're in government.
Dropping on that note, stopping right there, moving on to our next segment as we take our commercial break. God, that was good, Melissa. I wish you had a mic. I got to get a sound effect of a mic dropping. Just got to get that. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Going to take you right to the top of the hour. Of course, then we'll get to some CBS News. And then when we come back, we will have the kitchens open to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. Melissa and Beth's cooking show. We're looking forward to that, as we do every Monday. This one's interesting. It's life expectancy. The states with the longest life expectancy.
Okay.
Where are we moving to, everybody?
Someplace relaxing.
And warm. I'd really like warmth.
Mm-hmm.
A new NICE RX study ranked all 50 states based on life expectancy. And Hawaii came in number one.
Wow.
The longest life expectancy at 80.7 years.
So we just need to go tropical.
Sounds all right to me.
I'll take it.
We're moving, everybody. That's about 4 years higher than the national average, which dropped for the second year in a row in 2021 to 76.4 years, mostly, of course, due to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, Mississippi came in last with a life expectancy of 71.9, nearly 10 years less than Hawaii.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Generally, the regions with the highest life expectancy are on the east and west coasts of the U.S., and the lowest are in the south and Midwest.
Wow.
The 10 states with the highest life expectancy are Hawaii, Washington, Minnesota, California, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Oregon, Vermont, Utah, and Connecticut. The 10 lowest are Mississippi, West Virginia, Louisiana, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and South Carolina. The difference between men and women has also widened. Now men in America have an average life expectancy of 73.5 years, while women can expect to live until the age of 79.3.
This is why you marry a younger man.
There you go.
You get to spend more time with them.
Right on, Beth. Right on. There you go. Real quickly, just to throw into the mix here, Wisconsin ranked 24th on this list.
Okay. So right in the middle.
Right around in the middle. Yep. So I noticed right away that they mentioned in the article that the lower expectancy in the Midwest and down south. Then we see Minnesota show up in the top five of best, you know, places to live. But then when you saw those numbers of low expectancy, almost all of them were southern states. And I don't know what to do about it. I don't have an answer here. It's more of just throwing my hands in the air and like what the what kind of thing. But I would say it's been since we were kids that the South has been just hurting. And it doesn't seem like we've been able to do much to help or do much about it. And I don't know how we fix that. But our country is... It's never going to be as strong as it can be if all of these aren't at the level they should be at.
Well, and I'm probably going to have some people that are not happy with me when I say this, but it's the disparity in access to adequate health care because of racial background.
It's a huge factor. Gigantic factor.
Go ahead, Beth.
If you think about the populations that are in those states that are in the lowest, it's those that do not have white skin.
We know that we have a lot more divisiveness in and we have in American history, we have had more divisiveness in the South than we have in the North. Obviously, we fought a war over it and everything. A lot of that stuff has still bled into the younger generation, then the next generation, then the next generation. And that is not a coincidence to me that they are hurting. They have that division and that. Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason. I'm not even saying it's a major factor, but it ain't helping.
Right.
It does not help at all. When you still have groups of people that won't work with other groups of people because of that. Factors like that. That still happens, people. That still goes on every day. Now, it's not just in the South. I'm not just saying this is a Southern thing, and I'm not just blaming the South. You got plenty of Northern states, East Coast, West Coast states that are guilty of all this. But the dominance that it exists in the South, the fact that it is handed down, this hatred is handed down like a family heirloom,
right.
That is something that they take a little bit different pride in there than they do here or in other states around the country. That's fact, and that's coming from people from the South that I've talked to on both sides of this issue. So I got a lot of friends from down South, and I'm not speaking like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I also don't want to sound like I'm talking for the South or I'm talking for the Midwest either. I'm not talking for anybody but myself.
Well, and the other thing that you should take into account with this, too, is look at poverty rates across the United States. A lot of those southern states that are named have a high level of poverty in them, as well as New Mexico. New Mexico is one of the more poverty-stricken states in our union.
Yeah. And if you can't afford health care, you don't go and get health care. Therefore, you're not going to live as long.
Or have good access to food.
Right.
Or nutrition.
Well, on the other side of this, you know, when you look at some of these, too, there are like states like North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming. There are states that don't have the biggest of populations, mm-hmm. and they're also hurting. And, mm-hmm. and how you fix that, how you work, well, how you make something like that better.
Because it's rural. Nobody wants to do healthcare in rural settings, and they are starving to have doctors who are willing to live out in those areas to be able to care for people.
And then you look at things like infrastructure. Mm-hmm. What's going on with the water supply in Mississippi? You know, there's a lot of factors that affect people's health that have to do with the services that they can have access to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how this stuff gets necessarily figured out or anything like that, but we're getting to a point where it's make or break. You know,
right.
We have to figure this out. We have to make it so every one of our states in this union is strong. And maybe some are stronger than others, mm-hmm. of course, but that we're all healthy, at least. We're all doing, getting by, you
right.
know, and certain states better than others, but every state is at least there and doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. We will we'll get to CBS News, and we'll come back, and we'll kick off the 9 o'clock hour with the kitchens open. Looking forward to that. I do have a question to kick off that segment, though. I do have a question I have
okay.
to ask you, too. So we'll get into
okay.
that. We have That Ain't Right story that may not be a That Ain't Right story. I'll let you guys decide. And, of course, some great stories of the day coming up and plenty more goodness for you. It's the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.